Dear brethren, this day was consecrated by the birth of the one who was to bear in her womb the Son of God. This day was sanctified by the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To start, it is important to point out that as a rule, the Church does not celebrate the birth of the saints. Because, as St. Paul teaches, in Adam, all men have sinned, and therefore, all men are born deprived of the grace of God. So the Church cannot celebrate the day of birth of the saints, because even the saints were born sinners. That's why the feast day of a saint is not the day of his birth, but usually the day of his death, the day when he entered into the glory of heaven. However, the Church knows three exceptions to this rule. There are three births that are celebrated by the Church. The first one is, of course, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which we celebrate at Christmas. Our Lord was conceived in a miraculous way, without the cooperation of men, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. And being who he is, God made man, his birth cannot be but holy, without any sin. I guess there are no questions about why we celebrate the birth of Christ. The second birth the Church celebrates is the birth of the forerunner of Christ, Saint John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before the Lord on June 24th. Concerning Saint John, we have to know that he was conceived in the natural way. However, he was purified from original sin while he was still in the womb of his mother on the day of the visitation, when Christ, in the womb of Mary, came to visit and to sanctify Saint John, who was in the womb of Elizabeth. So even though Saint John was conceived with original sin, yet he was born holy because he received the gift of grace before his birth. And that's why the Church celebrates his birth, because he was holy already when he was born. And the third birth that the Church celebrates is the birth of the all-holy Virgin Mary, the mother of the Lord. Her birth, as it is to be expected, is celebrated on this day, September 8th, exactly 9 months after the feast of her conception, which falls on December 8th. Like Saint John, Our Lady was conceived in the natural way. Yet, like our Lord, she was never attainted by the stain of sin. But here we have to make a distinction. For Christ, There was an absolute impossibility for him to be stained by sin. Because of who he is, God made man. However, for Mary, the story was different. Because in her own nature, she didn't have any right that postulated her sinlessness. There was no right in her nature that postulated her sinlessness. Yet, our Lord wanted to grant her that sinlessness as a privilege, as a grace, as a gift. And that's why he preserved his mother from the common law of creatures. He preserved her from the stain of sin. But hearing this, one might wonder, how can Christ be the Savior of all men if we exclude Mary from the number of sinners? The answer is that Mary was also redeemed by Christ. Of course she was. However, her redemption was more sublime than ours. Because in us, redemption means forgiveness of sins. While for Mary, redemption meant preservation from sin. Preservation from sin. You see, when our Lord died on the cross, he was paying for our sins. But he was also paying for all the graces which were given to his mother. And her immaculate conception was the first fruits of his death. And he paid for it with his own blood. So Christ died for the salvation of Mary as well, even though she's not to be numbered among the sinners. Because by the grace of Christ, she was preserved from all sin. And that was the redemption of Mary, to be preserved from sin. Original sin, but also actual sin. God made her all holy, and this from the very first instant of her conception. And that's why the church celebrates the birth of Mary, because she was born holy, which means in full possession of the grace of God. Now we know that for Protestants, it can be quite difficult to understand all of that. Why all these privileges about the Virgin Mary? Why? My brethren, we have to understand that the Protestants don't look at things in the right way. Otherwise, they would not be Protestants. When they look at the Virgin Mary, for example, they see her as a random girl who happened to be chosen to become the mother of Christ. In such a way that if it was not her, it would have been somebody else. So in their minds, she was just like any other woman, until the day she became the mother of the Lord. But even the divine maternity didn't make Mary really special. Because after accomplishing her useful role, she was placed back in the common people's bench, so to speak. That's the way the Protestants think. But this is so contrary to the truth of things. My brethren, the key to understand the privileges of Mary is the election of God. The election of God. God chose Mary before Mary even existed. He chose her before the world was even created. In fact, Mary was predestined from all eternity to be the mother of the Son of God. So it could not be anybody else. It had to be her. That was her reason to be, her vocation, to be the mother of the Son of God. And this is what explains all her privileges. You see, it was because she was going to be his mother that she was preserved from original sin in order to be a pure tabernacle of God. It was because she was his mother that she kept her forever her virginity as a vase totally and solely consecrated to God. It was because she was his mother that she was preserved from the corruption of death and was assumed into heaven. Everything, all this greatness, because she was his mother. Now imagine for a moment that you could create your own mother. Wouldn't you employ all your power to make the best mother you could? Well, there we are. God did wonders for his mother. He employed all his power to make her holy and pleasing in his eyes. Why would one be surprised by this? As we should never look at Christ without remembering that he is the Son of God, otherwise we would get confused and would not understand anything. In a similar way, we should never look at Mary without having in mind who she is. The mother of the Lord. That's her dignity. And that's why she has so many privileges. And that's why she's not just like any other woman. So as we celebrate the birth of the mother of the Lord, let us rejoice. Her birth was the dawn that announced to the world the coming of the Son of Justice. And my brethren, let us not forget that while Mary is the mother of God, she is also our mother. Christ gave us his father, but also his mother. He made us the children of God, but also children of Mary. Behold your mother, said the Lord. Behold your mother. So I tell you, my brethren, don't be afraid to love Mary. But be afraid, and very afraid, if you don't love her. So let us grow in our love and the devotion towards the Holy Virgin, because it's proved that a servant of Mary will never perish. If you truly honor her, Christ will not allow you to suffer the flames of hell. If you truly honor Mary, Christ will not allow you to suffer the flames of hell. And I would sign this statement with my own blood. So let us run to Mary as a safe refuge. Because this mother can help us to be faithful to Christ in this way to attain eternal salvation. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.